Welcome to I'm Ready for My Close-Up. I'm Virginie Selavie, editor of Electric She, the magazine for transgressive cinema, which can be found at www.electricsheepmagazine.com. Throughout May, we explore the theme of treachery in cinema on the Electric Sheep website, and one film that premiered at Sci-Fi London earlier this month fits very well with that theme. True Love is about a young couple who, shortly after their wedding, find themselves locked in separate sealed rooms, showing films about each other and asked questions about their relationship. Every time they give the wrong answer, there are sinister consequences, which include being deprived of water or sleep. As they struggle to understand why this is happening to them and who is behind it, more and more secrets and lies emerge about their relationship. In an interview recorded at Sci-Fi London, I'm talking to the director of True Love, Enrico Clerico Nassino, and the writer and producer, Fabio Guaglioni. Welcome on the show, Fabio and Enrico.
Thank you.
So one of the things that I found very interesting about the film was that it mixes elements of horror and science fiction with a romantic drama. Did you start this project with the intention of blending different genres together?
From
the beginning, we knew that this was a some kind of particular project because it was not a straight genre project. So we always wanted to focus basically on the love story. So many people will see the movie and someone will perceive it as a thriller, some will perceive it as a sci-fi, you know, but maybe it was not in our intention to blend genres, but to, you know, add some nuances from genre and to have some kind of thriller structure. But ultimately, the story for us has always been a love story.
Yeah, that's quite obvious because the genre elements are really kept to a minimum. It's like a framing of that romantic story. But you have a clear interest in genre because I believe that the films you've made before, the short films, all had an element of genre. Is that right?
Yeah. We love genre when genre is not a trap, you know, because there are many genre movies that are always the same. So we tried, you know, to make something interesting with genres. Maybe it's we just need, you know, to tell a story, a genre story from a different perspective, and everything it's more interesting, you know. So that's our approach.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the short films that you made?
Yeah, we made some kind of sci-fi trilogy. The first one was Eden. The second one was Silver Rope, and the third one was Afterville. They are three sci-fi movies, but as an example, the first one is quite a straight sci-fi movie. The second one is kind of philosophical, you know, drama, sci-fi, and the third one is a sci-fi romance. So they are all sci-fi projects, but they're very different. And another thing that is common for all the project is that they were all really micro-budget projects, and we understood a lot, you know, about movie making, and that was useful for our path to True Love because we had a really micro-budget, and we had to create ways to do the movie, and the concept itself. There are, you know, two people in a room and some stolen footage from cell phones and surveillance camera. Was born from the question how we can make an interesting story without spending too much money, you know.
And that idea of using a locked room with a very limited number of characters, that's clearly an obvious way to keep it very low budget, and there are other films that have done that in the last few years, like Ferment Room and Exam, British film, maybe. I don't know if you saw that, and Saw as well, of course.
Yeah.
Were you influenced by any other films that used that premise?
Were we influenced?
Maybe yes, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, obviously, we know all the genre movie you're talking about, the lockup room, like Saw. For them, to me, The Cube is another one that I think like is a good visual exam for the reference. Yeah? And but it's a different anyway, because I mean the cube were more cubes, more different. So they are locked in a room, but there are more rooms.
Yes.
Also in the show, for example, they are locked in this say bathroom, and that's it. But there is all the action outside with the detective trying to catch the wrong jigsaw and blah blah blah. So I mean, it's not only in the room. Also, our movie is not only in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's strange because my perception of the first show is always in the room. But now that,
yeah.
now that you told me, it's true that throughout the 90 minutes there are a lot of scenes outside the room. So it's strange
yeah.
how it works, because the coolest thing of the first show, you know, it's that the first 15 minutes it's a dialogue between two characters in a room, and I think that, you know, that movie was kind of a game changer in the genre, and I think that we all were very influenced by that movie. But our movie, you know, from the pictures on websites, some people say it's like The Cube, it's like So, but we know that it's going to be pretty different, because it's a love story, and even visually it's not the same thing for us.
Yeah, you say So was a game changer. Would you say Cube was a game changer as well? Because that was one of the very, very early ones to do that, and it had that sort of philosophical
concept. Yeah, maybe The Cube was the first one that showed that with a limited budget but with a great idea, it was possible to make great indie movies. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But I love So, so that's why I always think that So was a game changer.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, we like to play with the codes of genre.
Yes.
So I mean
with the rules. Yeah.
Also in during the film, at some point, one of the characters mentions the possibility that this may be a reality show. Were you influenced by reality shows? Did you want to show something about reality shows as well?
I mean, I think it's interesting for the audience, for the people who watch the movie, because in a reality show, you see what it's happening. In a house or on an island or whatever, and you react to what you see. No? So you like some characters, you don't like others. And I think that, it's completely different because it's not a TV show. But if you are an audience, you go to see the movie in the theaters, maybe it's clone because, you watch something like a game between we don't know who and our main characters. So I think it's like the Big Brother, but, with... not straight, not only the TV show. I mean,
uh-huh.
It's a different, I think, way of lived experience,
mm-hmm.
because it's a movie. It's
mm-hmm.
not, but I think that there are some reference to it.
Do you see it as a commentary on reality shows and the position of the audience in relation to that?
We love the fact that when you go to see a movie anyway, you are closed in a theater. The lights goes down and the magic starts. Our characters are locked in a room. And they show them, some little pieces of their life with projections. So it's like they see a movie. So you watch a character that watch another movie that is made.
Yeah, they have to pass some tests to answer some questions. They have to see footage from their past life, they are in competition, they're constantly watched. So there are many things that are the carry minds to reality show. And that particular sentence is part of our game that was throughout the movie to give hints about what could what could be the solution of what's really happening. So there are many theories if you watch the movie, and one could be that it's all a reality show, but if you want a little help, towards the truth, that's not a reality show. Because we know what's happened, because many people ask to us, but okay, there is some kind of ending, but do you know what's happening in the movie? Yeah, of course we know. And there are some specific hints about what's really happening to the characters, but it's not a reality show.
Uh-huh. Yes, we won't reveal what it is, of course.
No, it's not going to happen. Maybe in the commentary of True Love 3 we could, you know, reveal what's happening.
Do you feel that whatever happens, do you feel that we don't get all the answers? Because I feel I have some idea of what it was, but maybe I'm wrong, maybe I misinterpreted it. But do you feel that you give enough elements to the audience so that we can figure out what the nature of what is happening?
Our position was always was, that's not the point. I mean, this movie works if you don't watch the movie searching for the answer to what's happening, but if you relate to the characters and you want to understand what's gonna happen between these two, you know, characters. Are they going to fall in love again, or are they going to break up? You know, are they going to forgive their sins? So the more the movie proceeds, and the more we, like the people, will start, you know, to forget, you know, about thinking what's happening, about questioning what's happening. I don't know if there are enough hints for the audience to create the correct answer, but it will be very cool to talk with the audience and to understand, you know, their theories, you know.
Yeah, I guess you'll see you'll see what the in the Q&A will happen.
Yeah,
right? Our assistant editor, who saw the film, Alex Fitch, mentioned the Milgram experiment also in relation to the film. Was it something that you thought of that influenced you?
Do you know Milgram experiment? Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I watched it yesterday because No, but anyway,
you did your homework.
The point we were more focused on the behaviorist psychology. I didn't know was that this type of experiment, but I mean, the clockwork orange, the Ludovico's, the fact that if you put some people in a certain place and you make them answer yes, no, you give some answer to the one that that is making the test, so the test proceeds to another level, and then this was our reference, like
mind conditioning experiments.
Mind condition, yeah, but again, it's not the core, like it's not like you say. It's
yeah,
not
it's
not
it's
a
tool.
Done it.
You know, it's just a tool for the story.
For the romantic story.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is the core.
And in the film, there's a disembodied voice that talks to the characters, and she keeps repeating, "Love is truth." Yeah. Do you believe that?
Do you believe that, Enrico?
Next question. Please. I mean, love generally in life. Yes.
Do you believe in love?
Okay,
yeah. That's
Do
something.
You?
Yeah. I think there can't be love without truth. And I don't know if my working partner Fabio Resinaro agree, but that's it.
Okay, so there can be love without truth.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
But
okay.
But that's interesting, because while we were making the movies, there were also some kind of discussions about, you know, the meaning and about, you know. So it was interesting because the subject of the movie allowed us to have a deep conversation between us and between us and the actors. And when we revised some dialogues, or when we, you know, worked about the scenes, you know, there were long, very long conversation about what's, you know, happened in the movie for the characters, and about what's true love, you know, for every one of us, how every one of us would react to those questions, to those tests, what's gonna happen if I see my girlfriend and it's betraying me, you know, in a stolen footage video. I mean, it was interesting also as a human experience, you know, to make this movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is true love then?
Enrico?
It's better.
Difficult question.
Yeah, in this specific case, I think that the true love was, you know, the feeling, you know, was the love that everyone involved in the project, you know, gave to make this project real, you know, because everyone, you know, gave 110%, you know, working day and night with really reduced fee, and everyone, you know, wanted to constantly improve every scene, every single detail, and I think for this movie that was true love, our you know, collective energy to make this thing real, uh-huh. You know.
Okay, I'm quite interested in the sort of conversations that you were having. What did you, when you were talking about how you would react in the same situation as the characters, what were people's answers? How did you feel about that? What would you do in the character's position?
I mean, I think it is right about the truth behind the love and all the basis. Let's say that in this moment of my life, it's not. I mean, I'm not the best guy to ask this question. But I mean, obviously, it's some folks that you had, I had, he's had, everybody. I mean, if you have you ever had a relationship, I mean, it's the usual things that you talk about. I think that if you saw your wife betraying you, I don't know. Exactly.
Yeah, the movie ends.
Because I mean, also, I know we are a little bit Italians, and so this is our blood pressure, you know, comes up, blah, 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 but I mean, completely with him when he spoke about the true of love. I mean, our couple is not, got a strong relationship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Got a relationship that, I mean, works. So I can understand why some things happen in the movie also. My choice would be different.
Killer.
Yeah.
Kill him. I sacrifice her.
Do you think that betrayal is always part of any relationship? Some sort of betrayal, some sort of lying, maybe not necessarily adultery or that kind of thing, but do you feel it's always a part of any relationship?
You know, I prefer to think not, but I always know that every one of us has a different relationship with all the other people, and you know, maybe there are two people that love in their unique way, and maybe they betray every day, and they gain faith again every day in the couple. So I don't know how, you know, I don't have a universal law, you know, but I prefer not to betray or to be betrayed, honestly. I prefer brutal honesty, but I think it changes from individual to individual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
The untold, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. The film is quite hopeful in a way. I mean, you can read it that way, and it seems to suggest that when you accept your partner's betrayal and you learn to trust them again, despite this is true love. Do you believe this? Do you agree with that?
In the movie, that works for two reasons. The first one is that they understand why it happened, and the second one is that because it's a movie. So I don't know in if your question was for personal life or for the movie.
Both.
I'll leave it up to you. Exactly. You must have thought about your own personal life as well while making this film, I guess, because it, like you were saying, it's the kind of subject that touches everyone. So did it lead you to question yourself and sort of think about your own life while you were making this film?
I mean, I would love to have a relationship like our two main characters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. With gambling, betrayal. Yeah.
Yeah, but yep, still. Because, it's. I think that betrayal, the game, all that, and the let's say not so good things are part of life anyway. So everyone got not to say it's secrets, but. I mean, something that maybe is not so proud to show to all the rest of the world, and maybe all also towards your partner, maybe because I don't know, some thousand reasons. But it's not my particular case, so.
You, Fabio, did it lead you to think about your own life? Did you, do you, would you like a relationship like that?
Probably not, but you know, until you get there, you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, maybe one day I will have to understand and accept betrayal, and then maybe we're gonna have another interview and I'm gonna explain how I approach, you know, the process.
You make a different film about that.
Yeah.
And you filmed with American actors,
mm-hmm.
which is quite an interesting choice, because it would have been easier to film with Italian actors, I assume, for you. Why did you decide to film with American actors?
Because we wanted very good actors, and it's not so easy in Italy, but the main reason was that we wanted a universal movie. So and we wanted to start the story from the, you know, happiest and fakest, you know, scenario possible, because they seems, you know, they seem, you know, like Barbie and Ken in Los Angeles. They are both blonde, beautiful, happy, and that was possible only using the rules of the genre. So American setting, American actors, you know, but it was also a commercial move. You know, we wanted to do a universal movie, so shot in English and with American actors, basically. And it was really interesting, because when we worked about scenes and dialogues, maybe there were some imperfection in English, so they wanted to understand what we wanted exactly to say, and you know, the barrier of the language was something useful at the end of the day, because you know, we tried to understand the nuances of what we really want to say in one language or in the other. So it was very, very, very interesting from that point of view, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And where did you film?
We shot all the exteriors in LA, so various locations with a really tight schedule, and all the rest in a scenography that we built in Italy. So it was really interesting for the actors, because they were taken away from their environment in Italy, you know, unknown place, people with a foreign language. So for them it was really cool, because they were really isolated, and it was really interesting even the way it was shot, because it was a real cube that can be closed. So from time to time we closed the cube, and from time to time they were in the dark in the box while we were filming them, you know, projecting stuff or making them hear the sounds, the voices. You know, they obviously read the script, but they didn't see the actual footage or hear the actual sounds and voices until they were there, and that was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Also the device, I mean, worked. I mean, it's all real, it's not a post. So I mean, when the answer comes up, they can read the answer. And also the voice talk about before, we make them hear also the voices. We project, the projection, not in post. We do everything on the set.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So to make
the next step could be, you know, to take the actors and make this thing without them having read the entire script, so they really don't know what's going to happen, where the story is going. But I think it's going to be a little problematic.
Yeah,
for us.
Because it's close to the reality show.
Yeah.
It
will be
a
reality show.
Yeah. Well, they did a very good impression of not knowing what was going on. I mean, there is two great performances.
Yeah,
I thought that were very good. Yeah, very convincing. And visually, the film looks really fantastic. What was your idea for the sort of world that you wanted to create, and how did you go about it?
We wanted to create a simple language, so using very simple elements, you know, like a glass of water, or you know, a texture of simple squares on the walls, and we wanted to create this environment in this simple way for two reasons. The first one was that everything could be really metaphoric for what's happening. So the privation, you know, the test, and you know, even the fact that they have to answer to a device, and your only choice possible is yes or no. It's kind of metaphor about when you have to make a choice in your mind, and you can't play around. It's yes or no, you know. And the second reason was that we played with the visual elements throughout the movie, and we kind of create some kind of visual trip, and we hinted here and there that this could be not a physical place, or a physical place that use rules that are not physical for us, you know. And so this opens, you know, new doors for new interpretations, or are they in a physical place, or what kind of technology this place is based on, who created this place, and that was, you know, part of the plan.
Mm-hmm. And the colors and the lighting was very important as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was also very problematic, because when Fabio Lesinaro created the design, we say, oh yeah, cool, it's very cool, but when we go to the set, the director of photography, Paolo Bellan, say, yeah, okay, we have 108 lights, spot of lights, but that means 108 shadows when we shoot the movie. So we were in a really tight room, you know, with us, the actors, the boom operator, and so it was really, really pain in the ass, this element, you know, because we had to remove a lot of shadows in post-production because of the look of the movie. But it was really cool, because it's simple, you know, when a light goes on, it's a projection, it's an easy illusion, but it works when you see the movie, you know.
Uh-huh. And it's quite brightly lit, but that is also part of the oppressive atmosphere of the film.
Sometimes yes, sometimes, because the light,
well.
The light situation change. I mean, we planned this for the beginning, because the room is another character.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, with the lights and sounds, and we have so you know, so little money that we had to play with those little things to create some variety, you know, throughout the movie, you know. So how many lights goes out, you know,
mm-hmm.
or which kind of sound we were going to hear, but it works. I mean, I love the fact that many movies have action with things that blows out, but we have action with a bullet and a gun, and I really like it.
Yeah, it's very very minimal.
Yeah.
Basic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, well, that's all we have time for. True Love will screen at the Cannes market, and will hopefully find distribution in the UK soon. Throughout May, we explore the theme of treachery in cinema on the Electric Sheep website. We've got reviews of True Love and also Vincente Minnelli's take on glamorous betrayal in Hollywood, The Bad and the Beautiful, an Australian tale of scapegoats in the Boer War, Break and Morant, and the high-octane Welsh-directed Indonesian martial arts actioner The Raid, which is released on May 18th. We also have articles on Joseph Mankiewicz's Theatre of Treachery, from All About Eve to Cleopatra, Manly Betrayal in Westerns and the Treachery of Memory in Blade Runner. You can read all of these articles on www.electricsheepmagazine.com. So all that remains to say is thank you to my guests, Fabio Guaglioni and Enrico Clerico Messina.
Thanks to you.
Thanks to you.
Ciao.
Bye.